Hello and welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh, and we are back here on a Tuesday night at Stone Cloud. Fantastic night. You've got a very dark beer.
It's cold. Dark beers are what you have when it's cold.
I can't disagree with the theory. I can't do a lot of dark beer. So
it's not a stout, though. We'll talk about it here in a minute, but it's not a stout.
Exactly. All right. Well, we are here again to talk Oklahoma State football. Cowboys obviously coming off of the very exciting, very dramatic 20-14 victory over Iowa State. Got things turned around back in the right direction, back on the winning side of things, and now Bedlam. So plenty to talk about this week.
It's a fun week.
It really is. It's exciting. We had some great chats with the four players that we got to visit with this evening after practice, despite the fact that it was ridiculously cold.
It was cold, yes.
Okay. Stop me if you disagree. It was cold outside. It felt colder inside the indoor facility.
It started feeling really cold indoors.
It was.
It was bad. But then when you walk outside, I walked outside with Brock Martin.
Yeah.
And he started talking about how cold it was outside.
Interesting. Yeah, that's fair.
So, I don't know.
That indoor facility tends to sort of work like I don't want to say a refrigerator, because it does the same thing with heat. Like
yeah.
If it's hot the day before, then gets cooler outside, it traps the heat in.
Yeah.
But if it's cold, then warms up, it stays cold inside. So it just,
It's a weird little building is what it is.
It is. But it functions well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better than the wind tunnel when we used to do interviews underneath the stadium.
Yeah.
Over at Boone Pickens Stadium.
And that's really cold out there. It might be colder under there than it is in that indoor.
Yes, exactly. I would agree with that. All right. Well, nobody wants to hear about how cold we are. So let's move on. We'll talk a little bit about Iowa State. Not a lot to discuss there. We'll get into Bedlam, our thoughts on that. We'll talk Spencer Sanders. We'll talk bowls. We can go into all my research that I did trying to figure out the path for Oklahoma State to get to almost at San Antonio.
Yeah.
That's the bowls. Arlington is where they would want to go for the Big 12 championship game. So we'll get into all of that. And, of course, the Stone Cloud six-pack at the end of the night that we'll get to.
Some best fun part
stuff,
of the night.
Fun stuff planned for that. Want to remind everybody to subscribe to the Cowboy Sports Minute, the Oklahomans' Oklahoma State Athletics newsletter. Go check that out at oklahoman.com. Subscribe to that. Get kept up to date on everything that's happening that's cowboy or cowgirl related. So plenty to stay involved with there. And I think now it's time to discuss the very dark beverage that you've got.
Yeah, it's it is dark, mm-hmm. but it's good. It's the big news. Exactly. We got big news. It's Bedlam Week.
Yeah.
That's our big news. It's Bedlam Week.
Exactly.
Biggest week of the year in state for folks. But big news, it's a black IPA. So it's a little dark. It's a little different at IPA.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit more of that stout palate, but it's not quite a stout. Their stouts here are wonderful. They're wonderful stouts here. But they're also like 13 to 14% alcohol. And I just feel like it's not necessarily appropriate for a podcast.
Yeah,
it might be a little dicey.
That's fair.
So, yeah, I'm drinking big news, kind of go between.
Yeah, it's well played. I'm going with one that you've actually had on the show. This is my first time to try it.
Wait, is this your beer?
Oh, it absolutely is.
Oh, okay.
I should explain that. This is my beer.
Okay.
Not a single OSU fan went and commented a score predicting OSU to win against Iowa State.
They all picked them to lose?
No, actually, nobody predicted a score.
What?
Right?
It's That's disappointing, everybody.
It's very disappointing.
Disappointing. We want more participation.
Scores predicted in the comments. You'll win a free beer that we will drink for you next week. For now, I get to drink my own beer.
Yeah.
And as I said, this is one you've had before, Ocean Flute. It's a milkshake IPA. Very tasty. I'm really enjoying it so far.
It's one of the best.
And I'm going to continue enjoying it this evening.
When you told me that they said it was going away soon, mm-hmm. I was a little heartbroken.
Yeah.
Because it's...
I can understand.
It's fantastic.
It is really good. So, no
good
complaints.
Milkshake. It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Milkshake IPAs are some of my wife's favorites, so it's great.
Very nice. I'm really looking forward to this. But hopefully I get to drink it on behalf of someone else next week.
Yeah.
And, go in there on YouTube, throw your score prediction in the comments, and you can win the free beer that I will get to enjoy next week. So, all right. With that, quick look back at Iowa State for the folks that didn't get to check out our postgame podcast. And if you didn't, you missed out. Sorry.
They're missing out a lot right now.
Exactly. Anything that we didn't discuss in depth that lingers at this point of the week?
You know, I don't... Did we touch in depth on the running game for the offense, for OSU's offense as much?
Not really. We didn't get into that a ton.
Still bothersome.
It's very strange.
They're not getting things going. Dominic Richardson plays a quarter and then is very limited. It's been very good those one quarter he's played right. The last two games. But to do that, they've got to figure this out. I don't know what they've got to do. Maybe Spencer being back is going to help the loosen the run game a little bit, but that's still a big concern for me going into to this game where I think they could throw the ball on OU, but they got to be able to run it too, or OU can stop the pass.
Right.
So.
Right. They need that balance desperately. You're going to have more of a challenge on the other side of the ball with what OU can do running the ball in particular, but they've also got talent at receiver. They've got a quarterback that can make some plays. He's not incredibly consistent, but he can make some plays. So you're going to have to score. 20 is not going to win this is what I'm getting at. You're going to have to be balanced. You're going to have to be able to run the ball. That's the strange thing. When I say earlier I said strange, you go look at the first quarters of the last two games, Dominic Richardson probably has 20 carries for 90 yards.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had some double-digit runs on Saturday that were, you know, some of the first they've had in a while, it feels like. And then it just dissipated. And it's really hard to understand, you know, whether it's a scheme thing that they're doing and they're catching guys off guard and then the opponent is adjusting, or if there's something more, you know, whether it's, you know, Richardson not being out there as much later in the game that's impacting it. I think that's part of it, because like we've talked about multiple times on this podcast, okay, he's not necessarily a home run threat right now.
Right.
But he's one of the best running backs that I've seen in a while at getting five when there's only 2 yards available.
Yeah.
And or getting seven when there's only four available. Making those extra yards is something that has really impressed me over the course of the season, and they need him involved. They need him healthy. Maybe, you know, maybe they need to go a little easier on him, do more rotating early.
Yeah.
So maybe you've got him on the field available more in the second half. Maybe that's a direction they could go to try to change things up. They're really going to need to run the ball this week to open things up. I think if you look at the Oklahoma defense, they've got a lot of injuries in the secondary. Their linebackers feel like there's a lack of consistency there from what I've seen. So I think that you have areas where you can attack this defense, but you've got to have balance, or it's just going to fall flat.
And I worry, you mentioned the second half part. If you don't have Dom available in that fourth quarter, say OSU has a lead,
right,
and they're trying to seal this game by taking down the clock, moving the chains, then if you don't have Dom, I don't know if they can do that.
Right.
And so they've got to figure out a way to get that, to get him expanded through the game where he can keep going, because you're going to need that closer in that situation.
And he's proven to be a guy that they can depend on in that situation. You know, Ollie Gordon, I think, is getting there. DeAndre Jackson is really developing and coming along and being more involved, and that's important. But that's two guys that you can give it to get you some tough yards.
Yeah.
But Richardson's dependability in those situations has been really valuable. And when you're needing to go run the ball and they know you're going to run the ball, he's your best option.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting to watch. On the other side, my quick look back at the Iowa State game, I can't figure out whether Oklahoma State's run defense played it a lot better, or if Iowa State just stinks at running the ball.
And I know I it's can't probably figure some out
of
either.
Both. I know it's probably some of both.
Yeah.
But the way that they played up front has to be a good momentum boost, a confidence builder going into a game where they can really impact the game again.
Yeah.
Obviously, Eric Gray is you know, he's averaging like 111 yards a game right now, coming off a 200-yard game against West Virginia. Like I said, with Gabriel, you can get to him and rattle him. He's a guy that's been prone to overthrow some open receivers, do some of those type of things. So there are ways that this defensive line can really impact this game, and that's going to be important to doing what they need to do.
And talk with Brock Martin. He said one aspect that they thought they improved with was the trust with each other. There's some new guys in there that weren't consistently playing together. With, you know, that wasn't the veteran group that they've had in the past where they've right. used to playing with each other, know who's going to do what. And so there's been some of those issues where they didn't necessarily – there was lack of trust between two guys, right. filling gaps and things like that.
Yeah.
So they finally feel like they started turning the corner on that. And so maybe that's going to help.
Right.
But okay. they also know the importance of there's a cat outside.
Yeah, there is. I got distracted by it too.
That's new here. It's usually a bunch of dogs, not a cat.
Probably some dogs in here, and, yeah. and we might have a fight on our hands any minute now.
They know that they have to stop Eric Gray. Sorry, I went blank for a second. The cat right. totally threw me off.
Yeah.
Brock said that they know they have to start with the stop and the run, and then it goes from there.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, this conference has turned out to have more good running backs than I expected it to have at the beginning of the season. It kind of felt like it was Bijan and Deuce and just a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Eric Gray has really emerged. Obviously, Devin Neal had a great game against Oklahoma State. But it's been solid throughout the year.
Yeah.
Even though they've kind of gone to the committee when they've had guys healthy there at Kansas.
Kendre Miller, TCU.
Miller has turned out to be a really good player, and he gave Oklahoma State some difficulties down in Fort Worth. So it's been a tough year to be struggling against the run. You know, not as bad as it would have been last year when, you know, you had in Breece Hall and guys like that into the mix. But – it's been the run games have been better than I expected them to be across the board in the Big 12, and this is another tough test. You really need, you know, we've talked about tackling issues for weeks on this podcast. You've got to limit those, and they did a better job of that this week. But you need Mason Cobb, Xavier Benson making tackles, you know, getting in position and finishing. We talked about it during the game. There was some tackling issues early against Iowa State, and we talked about how many times you see two defenders closing in from opposite sides of a guy, and he just splits right between them, seemingly running through arm tackles. You've got to be able to bring a guy down in those situations, and they know it. They understand it, but that's going to be really important this week if you're going to give yourself a chance to go win a really important Bedlam game. How much did you – we'll get into specifics of what we talked about with the guys that we talked to tonight after practice. We go behind the scenes. But what kind of sense did you get in talking to guys tonight about the – not only the importance of this game, but, you know, not wanting to be the team that OU beats to get bowl eligible?
And that seems pretty heavy on their minds.
It seems to be, yeah.
It seems to be. Brock Martin talked a lot.
Right.
I hung around with Brock the most, and he talked a lot about – the bowl eligibility part, and how he said it'd be nice to beat them and be the ones that they don't, you know, they have to go win their last game to get in a bowl game.
Yeah.
You know, that's important. And so I think that's weighed heavily on them, that they don't want to be that team to give that up.
You know, I didn't hear it discussed a ton tonight, but you know, this team is aware of the struggles that OSU has had in Norman in particular. For a long time, haven't won there since 2014. When you know, and they weren't even expected to that year, and had the wild upset. But they've had these moments along the way where it looked like they had a chance, and things crumbled on them, or where it's gone south really fast and gotten out of control. There's just a lot of bad vibes in that stadium for these guys, and you can sense that. Last year, even though it was in Stillwater, has changed their attitude about how they view this game, because they feel that they can match up with this team player for player.
And I may have the wrong guy to hang out with on this, because Brock was like, this is his fifth or sixth Bedlam, and he's like, it's just another game to him at this point.
Right.
But, yeah, he kind of had that attitude, you know. I mean, they feel that aura about him. He didn't really say it, but – you get the sense that he feels pretty good about where they are and how they match up, and you know, that he's learned a lot from this series, and I think last year was a turning point.
Yeah. One last thing before we completely ditch Iowa State. I was thinking at one point earlier today, I started trying to figure out the number of games that I might have covered in my career, football games total, not just OSU, you know, high school games back when.
Oh, that's a lot.
Right. Because, I mean, high schools, when we were on the beat, you were covering usually two a week during the regular season.
Sometimes three if there was a Saturday game.
Exactly. Then you get to the playoffs. Sometimes you would have a chance to cover two in a playoff week. Most of the time, just one, but every now and then you get two. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at like 25 games a year, minimum, I would say. You know, and I did that for 9 years. I can't remember how many years you were.
Did it a long time, even at Lawton, though,
right,
too.
Yeah, exactly. So. We had Lawton before that. I had Shawnee before that and Bethany. So
Tahlequah when I was in college.
Right. I had 3 other years on the college beat back in 06 to 08. So anyway, my point is, out of all the games that I've covered, which is in it's a few hundred. I don't know. I couldn't come up with a good number to estimate it. I don't know that there are many things more impressive than what I saw Spencer Sanders do last Saturday.
Yeah. I thought about this like not a fan.
Right.
It's not we're not paid to be fans. I'm not a fan. Totally try to be neutral here. But I got excited myself when Spencer came on the field, like, oh, here we go.
Right.
Like this is about to get really fun.
Yeah.
And you just feel the excitement level build with everybody. Right. I thought the press box there was excitement. Like, oh, he's really going to do this.
The attitude changed in the whole building.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that for a player that's hurt and comes off the bench and does that, because we've seen a lot of crazy games and we've seen a lot of good things.
Right.
Like, but that's one of those more like, I don't know, it's not a Michael Jordan flu game or anything like that. We talked about that the other night. But, like, It's up there for me. I'm just seeing it live and in person. Just see a guy that isn't supposed to play come in there and do what he did.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. Okay, they're down 14-10 in the third quarter. They're just throwing a pick late in the third quarter. If he comes in, we know he hasn't practiced. I tweeted sometime before Halloween. I mean, I don't know exactly when the last time he went through a practice was. It's been weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly. If he came in and led a couple of decent drives, maybe they kick a field goal, make it 14-13, they end up losing, we're still going to be talking about how valiant an effort that was by Spencer Sanders to even give it a shot. The fact that he led them to a victory, I've run out of ways to describe how impressed I was with what he was able to do in that situation.
Just to see a guy that hadn't warmed up.
Right.
Come in there, his first pass might hit the ground, maybe. You know, it looked like he caught it on, you know, it was confirmed or whatever. Right. But then they have to watch him warm up between quarters. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, the plan was for him to come in, but the plan wasn't for them to get the ball right back on an interception and where he was ready to go. They thought they've got a quarter to get him ready.
Yeah.
A quarter break.
Right.
And so I just, that's, you know, he just got an Eskimo Joe's t-shirt last week. Maybe they should have some more t-shirts come out kind of on some stuff.
New
but
design.
You know, like that was it was remarkable. It really was.
Yeah, it was. All right. I think that wraps up everything we need to discuss about Iowa State. We talked a lot about Bedlam already. I don't know how to really wrap my head around the point spread of this game.
It's so bizarre.
It feels weird. Feels really weird. Oklahoma State by 7, Oklahoma by 7.5 is the last number I've seen today, as we're talking here on Tuesday evening. It opened at 6 on the sports book that USA Today, our company, uses for the odds that we put in the paper. Open at 6, up to 7.5 now. I'll be curious to see if that goes a different direction as we get closer to the game. I can't imagine it going up anymore.
No way, right?
It just feels really weird. And there've been some other games this year that I've felt that way about, but nothing to this magnitude with the way Oklahoma is playing, the fact that Spencer Sanders is obviously healthy enough to be on the field, and everybody seems to expect him to play at this point.
Yeah.
Where that wasn't always the case the last few weeks. I can't explain it.
I don't understand. I mean, I thought they might be underdogs.
I expected
just because they're on the road at OU.
Yeah.
You know, you usually get a couple points just for being the home team in some of these scenarios. And I thought, okay, maybe 2, 2.5, might get 3.5, maybe.
Yeah.
But what do you do with that? I mean, this is why I don't gamble on sports.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't gamble, period. But I don't gamble on sports because just lines like this, like, to me, I would think take all your money and go put it on OSU on this.
Yeah.
But don't take that as real advice. Please do not take that as real advice. But it's the most baffling thing of this entire week.
Right.
To me.
We're not not promoting sports gambling.
No.
Which is legal in Kansas, if you're curious.
Yeah.
It's not that long a trip to the Kansas Star up there on the south side of Kansas.
So yeah, we've made that drive recently.
We've driven past it a couple of times.
Yeah.
Not encouraging anybody to make that trip. Just talking about random information.
Just talking about the point spread.
Popping into my head. So.
Just the point spread.
All right. Well, anything else Bedlam-wise? I mean, we've talked about it comes down to the two things that we seem to be talking about every week. Run the ball, stop the run. You know, if Sanders is healthy, that obviously changes the offense dramatically. I think Garrett Rangel and Gunnar Gundy played admirably.
Yeah.
In his absence, I think you saw just based on play calling that there is a different level of confidence maybe in Rangel. They had him throw the ball a ton. Gundy, they tried to stick to the run. They only threw it 12 times through almost three full quarters with him.
Is some of that Iowa State's scheme?
Oh, I definitely think so.
Because
I think
Gunnar might have thrown more against Kansas.
Right. You've got to take into account the fact that Gunnar went against a much more difficult defense
They had that spy. You know, they have the safety back there, and they confuse quarterbacks. What they do is they confuse quarterbacks.
Right.
And they had to go, let's not let Gunnar get too confused here and run the ball.
You got to try to keep him out of the weeds, whereas Kansas, you can attack a little bit more in that situation. So that's definitely part of it. I think that you see promise in what both of them can do. The throw Gunnar Gundy made to John Paul Richardson for the 80-yard touchdown.
Still the best I've seen all season by any quarterback.
If you can go find it on social media, I know you can. You'll have to just actually do the work. Go find it on social media. Find the end zone view from as John Paul is running toward you and look at how far he has to extend his hands from his body. It's basically like 1 inch more than a football.
Yeah.
It's like it's right there.
Yeah.
It nails him. Right on the numbers, right in the hands.
I remember the ball coming towards us in the press box because we were there, kind of that angle, and I just thought, that's a pretty ball. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's a perfect ball.
Yeah. It was incredible. Obviously, the rest of the day didn't go incredibly smoothly for Gundy. You know, outside of that one throw, we talked about this earlier, 4 of 11 for 20 yards.
20 yards, yeah.
So a rough day at times, but again – top 10 defense nationally. I don't think it does Iowa State justice to call them the best defense in the Big 12.
No, they're top 10 nationally. Yes.
This is a ridiculous
thing. It's like
defense.
OSU's defense last year.
Yeah.
Essentially. I don't know if they're as dynamic as OSU's was last year.
Right.
But they're statistically, they're right up there with what OSU was doing last year. They just don't have the offense to go with it.
Yeah. So, what I'm taking a really long way to get around to is I see promise in both of those guys. Mm-hmm. I think there's a good quarterback battle looming in the future. Putting you on the spot really quickly now. Is Spencer Sanders the quarterback of this team next year?
Ooh, on the spot. Gut feeling, yes.
I'm right there with you.
Too competitive to walk away.
I feel that way too. I feel like...
And his limited NFL opportunities right now.
Yeah. You know, he is a borderline draft guy right now. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, there are some guys in the league that I think he's more talented than.
Yes.
Some third string guys. Not starters.
No, yeah.
There's some third string guys that I think he's more talented than. So I think he'll get a shot. Then it becomes, do you land in the right situation? You know, all those different things.
The NFL's tough business.
It absolutely is. I really feel like Sanders will take advantage of that here and come back and lead this team again.
Yeah, I think so too.
It feels that way. And then you've got another year for Gundy and Rangel to develop. Zane Flores coming in in January. He'll be here for spring. Got some time to get his feet under him. And then things get really interesting for the 2024 season.
And I think there's a chance for Spencer to leave his mark a little bit more in the program, mm-hmm. not record book-wise, anything like that. He's got a chance to be the tutor, to be the teacher for these guys even more
yeah.
to where they can be developed, and he can leave the position better than when he took over, per se.
Right.
You know, leaves. Yeah. You want to leave something better than when you found it, right? So I think maybe Spencer has a little bit of that in his mind,
yeah.
ultimately.
I can see that. All right. Let's move on. We'll talk a little bit about the Big 12 championship game. Still a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
That's exactly how it feels. The Jim Carrey moment
that
you're referencing is about how it feels for this Oklahoma State team, because the opportunities are getting very limited. Obviously, the easy way for them to get to the Big 12 title game is to them to win out. Kansas State loses twice. They go no matter what else happens the rest of the league, because the only two teams that could catch them at that point would be Baylor and Texas. They got head-to-head wins over both of them. So no matter what happens there, they would go to the Big 12 championship game. The problem is they need Kansas State to lose twice in any scenario. There is no scenario where Kansas State loses once. Even though Oklahoma State mathematically could tie them at 6-3 in the conference, there's no scenario where they get the tiebreaker over Kansas State or Texas, who would be the other team that could get into a tie with them and mess things up.
What are the odds Kansas State loses twice?
Doesn't feel great.
It does not feel great.
No.
Beat Tech there too, right?
And then they've got Kansas coming to Manhattan. So they got the home field, but it's a rivalry game, and Kansas has a chance to compete in it.
Jaden Daniels might be fully healthy.
Right? You never know what happens with Jaden Daniels.
Devin Neal might run wild. I don't know. I mean,
right?
You know. But then Cade Warner might go nuts. I don't know. You know, I just don't know.
Right.
Will Howard might be due for a
dud.
I don't want to. Yeah, a dud. I didn't want to call it Will Howard moment because he's played really well.
Right.
But, you know, in years past, he's not been very good.
Right.
So, you know, he might be due for one of those. I don't know. I mean, but I don't like the odds for OSU.
No. That's the difficult thing, is because you can envision one loss for Kansas State. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to envision two at this point. I mean, the thing that Oklahoma State really needed was Baylor to beat Kansas State last week, and obviously that didn't happen. So,
what happened to Baylor there? That was brutal.
Strange.
Same thing happened to OSU, I guess.
Right, exactly. Really, really weird. But so at 5-4, say Oklahoma State wins just one more, Kansas State loses two, we're already at a certain level of chaos at that point, right?
Yeah.
I'm projecting that. Then you've got Baylor, Texas, Kansas, Texas Tech that could all climb up to 5-4 mathematically. You could it's pure chaos.
I don't know that Brett Yormark could even decide this.
Right, no. It's just throw a dart.
Yeah.
Whoever it hits, just send him to go play TCU.
OSU did let him ride a horse, though. So maybe he aims the dart at OSU.
Right? Maybe
they did let him ride a horse.
Hey, that
makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
Yeah.
You never know. All right. That's enough about that. That kind of lays out the scenarios for OSU fans who are curious.
It's just a slim chance.
It's still there.
Hey, speaking of horse, I did not bring this up to you earlier. Did you see Texas is starting to do recruiting photos on horses now?
Are they really?
Yes.
Well, look at
Wonder
that.
Wonder where they got that idea.
Yeah. <It's> I was going to say Texas Tech will start doing it, then say that OSU stole it from them.
Yeah, that's next, yeah.
That'll be later. let's go to the real quick talk about bowls. We're half an hour deep into the show here, so we
Cheez-Its and Liberty, right? What
give
is this?
Me Liberty or give me
Cheez-Its. That's right. Do you want Cheez-Its from the Cheez-It Bowl or the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl?
Right, which sounds so awkward.
Yeah,
Cheez-Its and citrus.
No,
like Cheez-Its with orange juice.
Yeah, I had some Cheez-Its that were sour cream flavored today, like little Cheez-It like
ooh,
crisp chips
yeah.
type things.
Uh-huh.
Had some of those. Those are good.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'd go for that.
Yeah. Not citrus, though.
Yeah. But yeah, Cheez-It. Double dipping.
Yeah.
They've already got the Cheez-It
bowl. That's like a big no-no, double dipping. What are they doing?
Right? I don't understand. Like, it's like they're trying to get their name on as many bowls as possible. They were already at the one in Arizona.
Yeah.
That used to be the Insight Bowl when Oklahoma State went there. Now it's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. It was the Cheez-It Bowl for a while. Then they moved over to what was the Camping World Bowl that Oklahoma State went to back in 2017. Now it's the Cheez-It Bowl, which Oklahoma State went to in 2020. And now they're adding their name to the other Orlando Bowl, the Citrus Bowl. So you're going to have the Cheez-It Bowl a week later, same stadium.
Yeah.
A week later, at the same stadium, you're going to have the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Is it how long until it's cheese at Disney World?
I'd be all for that. Like, if they're just passing out Cheez-Its, yeah, and you're cruising around. Like, yeah, you're standing in line for an hour for a ride, and you got some free Cheez-Its, it makes a difference.
Cheese at Disney World. Cheese at Epcot.
Yeah.
You know, cheese. Yeah, it's just.
Just keep going.
Just Orlando, sponsored by Cheez-It.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it just that's where this is heading.
Right.
Or Cheez-It Super Bowl.
Cheese at Orlando.
That's yeah, all. That's Cheese at Orlando. Yeah. Yep, there we go. Yeah, yeah. Little Mickey ears on the Cheez-Its.
Right.
Is that the corners? You know.
Yeah. That's perfect. All right. So all that to say, gut instinct right now, what bowl does Oklahoma State end up at when we're discussing it on December 4th?
The Alamo Bowl.
Alamo is
that's where I'm going. They're going to San Antonio.
I think
the Riverwalk, the Alamo. You know.
You remembered.
I do remember the Alamo. Yes.
I'm with that. I'm with you on that. I think that's the best odds. I could see the Cheez-It Bowl happening, but I feel like Alamo is where this team is heading right now. You know, I think because of all the Big 12 stuff we just talked about, the opportunity to get to the Sugar Bowl is even more limited than it was a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Alamo, I think, is the spot this team falls at. I think, you know, with people seeing the Spencer Sanders story and the direction it could go over the next 2 weeks, he goes and leads him with two more wins. Mm-hmm. People are really excited about this program, and I think it's an attractive team,
yeah,
for a bowl game. And they haven't been to the Alamo since 2016. So
I haven't been to the Alamo since high school. So I'm all for it. Here we go.
All right. I love San Antonio.
I liked it in high school. So, you know, I mean, is there any kind of caved or anything we can
go
get
explore.
To?
We can go explore.
Okay.
I don't see why not.
Yeah. Around the Alamo, maybe?
Right.
Riverwalk?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they've got Pee Wee Herman's bike in the basement at the Alamo, so.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's in a cave. I don't know.
Maybe.
Could be.
Yeah. Who knows?
You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else that we need to get to before we shut this thing down and wrap it up, put a nice bow on it with the Stone Cloud six pack?
I don't think so. I think we're ready for a six pack. I'm ready to crack one open here.
I think so too. I'm right there.
I also did all my normal homework, so we're good.
Uh-huh.
To let our listeners and viewers know, you send me these topics ahead of time.
I do. Yeah.
And I look at it, I say, cool. I usually respond, okay, yes, cool, or something.
Almost always.
And then I don't look at them again. Right. So that's the extent of my homework.
One of these weeks, I'm going to send you some and then change them all just to see if you notice.
I won't notice.
Right. That's what I figure.
There's a very good chance. Yeah. I have no idea.
Right. Unless it's a food-related draft, which today
yes,
is.
Yes, I'll notice that. I know that, the draft. Yeah.
That I think you'll catch on.
Yes.
All right. With that, let's go ahead and open up the Stone Cloud six-pack. First, the football topics. Over or under 111.3 yards, which is what Eric Gray is averaging, which is why I came up with that number. 111.3 yards rushing for OU's Eric Gray. Over or under?
Over.
Going over?
Yeah, I'm going over.
It feels that way.
It's going to be a whole lot of Eric Gray.
Yeah. I mean, if Jeff Levy knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And seems to mostly know what he's doing. OU fans might want to argue that, but it's got to be a steady dose of Eric Gray.
Yes. Yeah, I think over.
Yeah. I'm with you on the over. That said, I am picking Oklahoma State to win this game, but I think Eric Gray has a
I had a hard time making this pick this week.
It's a weird one to try.
Because I thought,
right,
man, OSU struggles so much in Norman.
Right.
This feels like the kind of game they could lose because of Eric Gray.
Right.
But I still picked OSU.
I'm with you there. All right, moving on. Over or under 39.5 pass attempts for Spencer Sanders. This is a little bit out there. I'm basically saying, do you think he's going to throw the ball 40 times, considering he threw the ball 13 in a little over a quarter last week?
Yes.
The numbers are possible. But that's asking a lot of a guy that hasn't practiced a ton in a few weeks. That would be putting him in a difficult situation.
I'm going with the tough MF-er. He's going to throw more.
He is a tough MF-er, yeah. Self-proclaimed.
Over.
I am with you. I'm going over as well. I think that's going to be the best source of offense for them.
Yes.
I think they're going to give him opportunities to make some short completions like we saw on Saturday, some eight-yard throws, some slants to your outside guys, some your inside guys finding holes in the middle of the field. So I'm going over, but man, that is asking a lot. That's asking a lot of a dude. We'll be very curious to see how that plays out. All right, here's one that we've discussed a few times on this podcast. I don't know if any of us have ever gotten the answer right on this one.
Ooh.
Next interception for OSU. I threw this question out one time, and they didn't have an interception for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, so you might jinx them here. Mason Cobb.
Very interesting.
Yeah, right. Going to the linebackers on this one.
He's got one this season. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. Had a really big one earlier this season. So I am playing the odds here.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Jason Taylor II.
I thought about that, but I pick him a lot.
You do pick Jason a lot. The dude leads the Big 12 in picks.
He does.
Feels like a big game.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that he's going to find a way to get his hands on the ball. I think this is the week that he finds a number five.
Number five, man.
Four interceptions this year for Jason Taylor II.
And Saturday might have been the easiest of his career.
That's possible.
It was just right there. He just
– yeah.
Yeah, that was
– That one there in was that third quarter, yeah. I think.
It was the one that got Spencer in the game.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Spencer came in
it
the
was,
next play.
Yeah, third quarter – yep. It wasn't as easy as Mason Cobb's last year when Jason said if it had been a spear, it would have killed him.
Right.
But it was up there with that.
It was. That was a gift for sure. One thing we didn't really touch on too much from Iowa State that I think could be impactful. Five turnovers, four sacks. When you put up those kind of numbers, if they can replicate that, obviously you're not going to get that every game, but
get close to it.
You get a couple of each. Start making some progress.
Yeah,
to really swing the game. Even though it didn't feel like it was swinging the game last week, they had five picks and we're still losing.
So. Yeah.
But it can have an impact in a rivalry game like this. All right, I think that does it for the football half of the Stone Cloud Six Pack. So that brings us to the draft.
This is the fun part.
It is. Now I don't normally tease what the draft is going to be the week before. Next week I've got another more specific Thanksgiving themed draft idea that we'll get around to. But for this one, we're going with pies.
Oh, pies! All right, Thanksgiving pies or just pies in general?
Pies in general.
Okay.
Pies in
okay. General. Okay.
Thanksgiving inspired it.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Pies in general.
Okay. I gotta ask this first for you.
Right. Right.
Are you a warm fruit or a cold fruit guy?
Oh, I can go either way.
Okay, okay.
Let me ask you this. Rank them really quickly. Pie, cake, cookie.
Ooh.
In dessert, I want one, two, and three.
Ooh.
Because I'm pie, cookie, cake. That's my order.
Man, it depends on what it is. That's the problem for me. It depends on what I've got as my options.
All right.
Because they could go in any order at that point.
Okay, that's fair. I'm pretty strong.
Are you?
It's a really strong chance that I'm going to take pie over.
I have a sweet tooth, so I don't discriminate too much.
Yeah, that's fair.
So.
All right. Well, let's jump in. I think it's your turn to go first.
Perfect.
I'll let you have the first.
Perfect. I'm going to go for the brownie points here. My mom does not watch this podcast that I'm aware of.
Right.
If she watched it, hi, Mom. Her pecan pie.
All right.
It's a family recipe. My grandma made it. She makes it. It's just this homemade pecan pie. She makes it every holiday, some special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a delightful homemade pecan pie.
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm pausing the draft because there's one really important thing that I forgot to get to earlier that I've got to mention right now.
Okay.
Because it was maybe my favorite moment in an interview.
Oh, yeah.
This happened all
We didn't
season.
Talk about the players we talked about. We skipped it. Well, that's all right. Too
we
late.
We breezed right past
But let's
it.
Get but, this part in real quick.
Okay. Got to interview Joe Mahalski for the very first time
right.
in his career.
He was my security guy escort through that's the right. Bedlam field storming last year.
That's
yeah.
right.
I meant to tell him that. I didn't get a chance to.
Great guy. He skyrocketed into my top five players to interview on this team.
I didn't get to talk to him. I'm really bummed now.
He was fantastic. Talking football was great with him. Talking non-football was great with him. Talked a lot of different stuff. When he got down toward the end of the interview, okay, his last name is spelled M-I-C-H-A-L-S-K-I.
Right.
Lots of us been mispronouncing it for years till he started playing. We found out that the C was silent. But even then, you would hear different versions of his
Mikalski.
Name. Mikalski.
Mahalski.
All sorts of different things. So I said, I want you to pronounce your name and then tell me your favorite mispronunciation of your name. But first, pronounce your name so that we know how to say it. And he pauses for a second and he goes, Joe? And I lost it. I straight lost it. It was fantastic. It was an incredible moment.
I wish I'd have been there for that.
I've never laughed that hard while interviewing a football player ever in my life.
Joe.
It was great.
All right, yeah, he's top five. That's it's
it was great. And that wasn't the only moment. He was really good talking about. He's very proud of the fact that he's from Kansas City, Kansas.
Right.
On the Kansas side, the best side, according to him.
The best side. They got Joe's.
They do. They do. He mentioned another barbecue place that I cannot name.
I know Joe's.
It was a local place in his near his hometown. So, but had a blast talking to Joe Mahalski, and it is Mahalski. I can confirm.
Does he eat Joe eats at Joe's? Huh?
Got to find out.
Joe
Michalowski was his favorite mispronunciation.
Michalowski
mispronunciation nice. Of his name. Okay. Back to the regularly
okay,
scheduled
sorry.
Draft. I apologize for
it's your it's your pick now. You haven't even picked yet.
It is my
you
pick.
You had to divert.
That's right. Okay, I'm going with another very specific. You went with your mom's family recipe for pecan pie. I'm going with this is not a cheesecake. Cheesecake is not pie.
That's fair.
But it's called cherry
I do bean. Love cheesecake though.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's like top on anything. If you had to rank, it's cheesecake.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Cherry cream cheese pie.
Cherry cream cheese pie.
So it's pie shell, usually graham cracker crust.
Okay.
Cream cheese. Got some lemon juice, some other things to sweeten it up. And then just pie filling, just poured over the top of it. Cherry pie filling.
Oh, man.
It's amazing.
That sounds amazing.
It's a cold fruit pie.
Okay. That sounds amazing.
It's spectacular. Probably more about my personal life than anybody cares to know, but my ex-father-in-law makes this, and I loved it so much that he's still been divorced a while. He still makes me one on my birthday and at Christmas.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic because he knows that I love it, and I get the whole thing to myself.
Yeah,
too.
There
he
you
makes
go.
It just
yeah,
for me. I put it in the fridge. I'm still eating that thing at New Year's.
That's awesome.
It's spectacular. All right, back to you. Pick number two.
Well, I'm not gonna be as sentimental on this one. Just gonna go straight up cherry pie.
Strong.
It's similar to yours. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I just love cherry pie. I always have. Mm-hmm. It's always been my favorite pie, really, to be honest.
Yep.
Like, just everyday pie.
Nothing
just
wrong
give
with
me
that.
A slice of cherry pie.
Yeah. Another weird story with my number two pick, which is apple pie.
Okay.
I've already discussed that cake, bottom of the list for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get married, you got a groom's cake, right? I don't care for cake all that much. Go to my stepmom and said, how about we do groom's pie? So she finds out a way to do these little tiny pies so that everybody can have individual ones. She made one big one for me, but all these tiny little individual ones for everybody else. We did apple pie instead of groom's cake at my wedding. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That's good. We did cake balls.
Pie. That's solid, too.
And, and then groom's cake was a cake, but we did our wedding cake was cake balls.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Pick number three for you,
ooh,
sir.
Pick number three. This is hard. There's so many pies I like.
Right.
You know, I like a banana cream pie.
Mm-hmm.
I like there's what some pudding pies, right? I mm-hmm. like those. I like a cookies and cream Oreo pie. I'm gonna have ooh. To go with like a chocolate meringue pie.
That's hard to beat right there.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. And I also specifically have the meringue. There used to be a place in Elgin called Trivet's in Elgin, Oklahoma, down there that this they had a lady that specifically did pies for them. It's this old diner. She retired eventually after I left the area, but she did meringue. And I'm no kidding. The meringue was half the size of these 10-ounce pour glasses here.
Yeah.
It was the tallest meringue, some of the best meringue, and that is some of the best pie.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
No disagreement from me on that. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going with peach pie as my last one. Peach, for some reason, everybody goes cobbler with peach.
Right.
A peach pie, also really good. Very solid. That and apple, I'm going warm on both of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Either one with some ice cream on top.
Oh, yeah.
That's strong.
I almost went blueberry pie, too. And I didn't really consider blueberry pie much until I went to New England on that a few years ago on a road trip.
Yeah.
And blueberries are a big deal up there. And that blueberry pie will knock you down. It's so good.
Yeah.
I almost considered that, but I wanted to vary some fruit, savory, things like that a little bit.
It's a really weird one. But at Burger King, they used to have, and they might still have it. I don't have a Burger King near me, so I don't get to test out Burger King that often. They used to have a Hershey chocolate pie.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Hershey item. It had Oreo crust.
Oh, that's good.
It had a little bit of whipped cream on the top, some other chocolatey things mixed in.
Yeah.
I was addicted to those for a while during college. But that's a different story.
I just like pie. This is a tough draft because I feel like I'm overlooking so many different kinds of pie that I'll eat.
Right? Any of the six that we drafted, you put them right here, and I'm going to dig into all of them.
I'm going to eat all six of them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Very good. Anything else before we shut it down here at Stone Cloud on this
fantastic Tuesday night? No, I think we've covered everything. I think we've covered everything.
Another great one. We're getting toward the end of our run here at Stone Cloud.
We are, yes.
I'm getting a little sad. A
couple weeks left.
That's right. That's all we've got.
We're going to have to figure out a way to continue something or do something.
Right.
We're going to have to figure out something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay tuned. Maybe we can brainstorm this.
Yeah, we'll have to think about it some more. All right. But with that, thank you to everybody who watched on YouTube, everybody who listened on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to our podcast from. We appreciate all of you. Remember to go drop your score predictions in the comments of the YouTube video. We will get you a free beer that we'll drink for you next week. So we appreciate all of you checking it out. Thanks to Chris or any of his helpers back at the office that help put this out and make it look all fancy. Thank you to you. And thank you for watching and listening to the Cowboy Chronicles.